Hey, Mike.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, actually. I've got my good friend, longtime friend, Randy Murray here, of Who Writes for You, just one of probably one of my closest, most dearest friends. So this is like total like geekgasm for me. But so Randy and I used to work together. As you may know,
I do.
And one of the things I think, kind of early on, that we recognized, and we actually worked in two separate states. He worked in the company we worked for had two offices, one in Ohio, and one in the Twin Cities. And I worked at the Twin Cities office, and he worked at the in the Ohio office. And so we didn't actually meet each other. Like right away?
Probably. Well, I think I made a trip up, you know, early on where we were basically offsite. But it was probably the Macworld in San Francisco where we really first got to know each other.
Right. Yeah, the very first Macworld that I went to, and you know, I think one of the things we kind of recognized right away in each other is our shared love for what I like to call analog tools, you know, pen and paper and...
I call them legacy tools.
Legacy tools.
Yes.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah. I like that. You know, so I thought, you know, we've had some other requests. There are people like, you know, people know this about me. I've written about it on Minimal Mac and I've discussed it on other podcasts and things like that. But what better chance to kind of geek out over pen and paper than with my friend Randy here, who's equally a pen and paper geek.
Oh, yeah. So, and I have been. And I think that also that it's not just that we're pen and paper geeks, but we're also complete tech heads. And we're, you know, Apple fanboys to the core and use all the technology. And so I think that it's that that we also love pen and paper. A lot of people look at that as a contrast and saying, well, why would you do that when you've got an iPad? Wouldn't you just do all of those things? And yet, you know, the pen and paper, to me, still are wonderfully useful. And they're also beautiful objects in and of themselves.
Yeah.
And I like having beautiful objects that are useful.
Yeah.
And they complement. I feel, for me, these two types of systems complement each other. So when I'm, say, researching to write something, having a pen and paper complements the text editor that I'm using.
Yeah.
Yeah, they certainly do. And I found, and I generated a little bit of heat on the net, you know, a few weeks ago, but, you know, I wrote about, you know, that when I am in a business meeting, so I have clients, I work for major corporations and do writing for them. And when I'm sitting down face to face, I put all the technology away and I get out my Moleskine notebook and a pen.
Yeah.
And we have a conversation and I take notes.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Some people were really shocked and surprised at that. You know, saying, well, why wouldn't you use your iPad? Or why wouldn't you use a notebook? And for me, I find that not only for me is it more tactile, but it's easier for me to make handwritten notes and pay attention and connect with someone than to try to split my focus and try to make sure I'm typing proper notes and doing things on the iPad or a notebook, which continually sucks your attention away from the person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Me, you, and Benjamin Brooks were discussing it a bit, and I definitely side with you, Randy. because if I'm in a meeting, I have a very specific way that I take my notes, and it involves boxes and exclamation marks and arrows and all sorts. I couldn't replicate that as fast on any iPad application. I've tried, but just nothing can give me that sort of control. You can't do that sort of stuff with your fingertip as well as you can a pen, and even the styluses, they're just not good enough, especially for me as a lefty, because I have a very strange way of the way that I hold my pen, and no app, I've got Penultimate, which people swear by, no app can replicate that pen and paper experience for me.
So, speaking of which, Mike, what are you using notebook wise pen wise in general? What are you rocking?
I'm a Moleskine man to the core, all the way. I just buy the Moleskins, as most people with notebooks, I will just see them and buy them. It's like, there's a red one, I'm going to buy that. I bought a red one before Christmas. I only opened it a couple of days ago to use, and I just purchased my first set of field notes. The recent spring ones that are transferred.
Oh, okay. Like, yeah, I want all right. That.
So they're on the way. With pens, I have a Mont Blanc, which is my favourite pen, which I was bought for me for my 21st birthday a few years ago. But this is going to horror anybody who loves a pen. I dropped it a couple of days ago, and it landed on the nib.
Oh. Well, yeah, the nib can be replaced.
Yeah.
So it needs to be replaced. Yeah, it's a fountain pen. Sorry, I should have said it. Fountain pens, always love them. Even though I'm a lefty and I get ink all over my hand because I'm constantly rubbing across the writing. But I love fountain pens. I just find them always comfortable.
So, you know, because I'm a pen geek, I got to ask. So are you a fine nib, medium nib person?
I like a medium. I like my writing to have a bit of thickness to it. It makes my handwriting look better because I haven't got fantastic handwriting, and a thicker nib makes it look better. Like, I quite like the way that a felt tip looks, and I like my fountain pens to be sort of in between the thickness of a biro and a felt tip.
Yeah, well, you know, I've had I'm a Mont Blanc fan as well, and it's one of those things. I have a Mont Blanc rollerball, and it was. It was a business gift to me. Oh my God! Been 93 or 94.
So you're about 15, 16. Yeah.
And it's still
almost a graduation present.
Yeah, you know, but it still looks and acts brand new.
Yeah.
Now this is. It's like I look at this, and it's. I would have never bought it for myself. I mean, it's a very expensive pen, but it performs beautifully. And I almost look at it as a piece of jewelry.
Yeah.
I mean, when I put on a suit, I put my Mont Blanc in my pocket.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah. Yep, definitely.
Yeah. Now I'm traveling, and what did I put in my pocket? Now this is Patrick got me turned on to these.
The Uniball Signo Micro 207s.
Yes.
Yeah.
So beautiful that way. Didn't bring my Mont Blanc with me, but it is a wonderful, beautiful piece. And if you take care of it. It will last your entire life. You'll leave it to your grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. I've got to chuck in before we ask the granddaddy what his favorites are. My beautiful better half bought me a Cross rollerball for Christmas, and I'd never liked rollerballs, but it's brilliant. It is brilliant. I think it's because it's a more expensive one. It just feels more comfortable to me because I don't like the way that. I mean, people will say if you're a fountain pen user, you're crazy. But I feel to me that a rollerball scratches across paper. But this one is good. And that's probably the same sort of thing from your Mont Blanc one, right?
Yeah.
It feels nice. It just feels nice and nicer smooth. Than a Bic, obviously.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we're going to talk about, like, you know, expensive, you know, money that we spent on pens, you know, sort of thing. I'm not sure this is inked up. No, it's not. It's not inked up. So my kind of really nice, real splurge of a pen purchase is the it's a Pilot Namiki Vanishing Point.
Oh man!
Which is a retractable fountain pen, but this one. Is even more expensive because I like fine pens. I have really tiny handwriting, and so I need a fine nib, extra fine even preferred if possible. And this actually has a custom nib done by Richard Binder. I think it's Richard Pens or Richard. Binders pens or something like that. We'll put it up in the show notes. But basically, he does custom nibs for this model, and you can buy one of these from him with a custom nib. And this is an extra fine Richard Binder Nib. And he's known for being able to make really tiny nibs, all the way up to like an extra, extra, extra fine, which is like a needle point. I mean, like seriously, yeah. You could draw blood with the thing. Yet still very, very smooth, not scratchy at all.
Oh, it's a beautiful pen. It's very attractive.
Yeah.
Is he letting you touch it?
He hadn't until you mentioned it.
Right, exactly.
It is. It's beautiful. It got some nice heft to it.
I need to ink it up right now. So speaking of which, Mr. Lefty, nice. getting back to you, mm-hmm. what, because of your left-handedness, do you kind of lean towards specific inks with that pen? Can I make some recommendations?
I will tell you. I use. I don't like cartridges. I like Inkwell.
Right. Okay. Good.
I have a Mont Blanc Inkwell.
Oh, okay.
The set, right. Of course. But please do suggest some ink for me, sir.
You may want to try. I'll give you two suggestions. Pelican's 4001. Is an excellent ink that is popular with lefties because it also dries fairly quickly.
Oh, right, okay.
It doesn't feather a lot. It's really good on even substandard papers. I really like it, and it's kind of my basic black. The other one you really might like a lot that I just recently tried and have just started using, but I love it, is Noodler's ink makes a brand called Hearts of Darkness, which is the best black I've ever used. It's an incredible black. And, you know, as one would imagine with that kind of name, it's a very black. But the other nice thing about it is it's also a very good ink, and it's a fairly thick ink and tends to dry quickly. So just two things to try for lefties who are fountain pen people or want to try fountain pens. Just walking around, you know, I obviously don't carry fountain pens everywhere. If I happen to have a shirt on with a pocket, I'll have one on me, maybe take it around, you know, but, you know, only in those times when I really think, okay, I'm going to be taking some notes, I'm going to be doing some writing, but just walking around day to day, you know, I know Randy mentioned the Uniball Signo. But I also see another one he's got here.
Yep.
I know he's a fan of.
Yeah, my Fisher Space Pen. It is, you know, I carry it with me virtually everywhere because it's just utterly dependable.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be afraid about it in any situation. Yeah. So whereas my, you know, a Mont Blanc or a fountain pen, you know, you want to keep those to where, you know, the nice control situations. The Space Pen, I'm never afraid of pulling out. So,
right.
So this is the Bullet model. I like it in, you know, in all black. I do add the additional clip that goes with it.
Uh-huh.
But it's so nice. It can fit comfortably in a pants pocket or clipped into a pocket. But, you know, when, you know, fully, you nice. Know, assembled, it's very comfortable
yeah.
to use.
Yeah.
And, of course, using the official Fisher pressurized ink, mm-hmm. You can write upside down. You can write in zero gravity, which happens more often than you think. And you can write in water or grease, you know. So it's a very workhorse of a pen.
So you can walk in water, like underwater, or just
underwater.
If something's wet.
Yes.
Wow. Underwater.
Yes. So wow. This is, you know, if it's good enough for the Apollo astronauts, it's good enough for me.
Good enough for you, yeah. Yeah. I've actually had the Space Pen on my list of things to buy forever and just have never pulled the trigger. But just seeing it now, I'm like... Oh, because I've got something similar. I've got a Lamy Pico,
mm-hmm.
which is actually small enough for me to carry in my wallet. And Randy can vouch. He
yep.
he saw me sit here and take it out of my wallet. It sits in the bottom of my wallet. It's designed to it's a ballpoint as well, and you know it. sitting. It's maybe, what is that, about 3 inches long, would you say?
Yeah, three.
Yeah, about 3 inches long. And then it extends to about, I'd say,
four and a half
inches long to create, you know, very, very comfortable writing.
Yeah.
Very comfortable to hold. And once again, similar sort
nice
of thing.
Nice barrel size, yeah.
It's got a nice barrel size, and it's good to write with. The only thing I don't like about it, and I've got to ask Randy about, mm-hmm. is that, so I've got a black model, but it's kind of this rubberized black coating that's wearing off in several spots and looks really beat up in places because of how it travels.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like more of an anodized coating on your black Fisher Space Pen.
I beat the crap out of it, and I've never had any problems with the finish. So.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I'm definitely going to have to get
Now, when you talk about wallet pens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay.
So I actually carry in the fold of my wallet this little silver wallet pen. Now, I wouldn't use it for writing anything of any significance or any length, but if you need to sign or to take a quick note, it's just barely there. It's just barely bigger than the ink cartridge itself. What would you say? It's probably an eighth of an inch in diameter, maybe approaching a quarter.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. And but big enough to fit right in the fold of your wallet so that I always have something.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's kind of the same reason I carry the Pico. You know, because if I had that Fisher Space Pen, I'd probably drop that into the bottom of my wallet as well.
And have you seen?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, we dropped it.
Yeah, and then in his wallet, he's got this kind of credit card-sized little Post-it notepad, really.
Yeah.
That's the size of a credit card for taking notes, and also has a little pen inside it.
I know, it's obsessive.
So at any point, you're walking around, Randy.
Yeah.
And you've got like four or five pens on you.
Yes.
You're awesome.
Like a pen superhero.
I'm the James Bond of pens.
Oh my gosh. You don't lie, man. This is great. So do you just carry, Mike, just the cross and the, what do you carry around, like, for just walking around? Is that the cross?
I have a Unipol Signo as well that I will carry around. But my favorite sort of everyday use fountain, because what is, again, a fountain pen, is Lamy ABC. It's actually a pen that's designed as a first fountain pen for children.
Yeah.
And it's made of wood. The body is made of wood, and it's a durable plastic, and the nib is strengthened to prevent against droppage, as I can attest has happened. But it's really smooth. It's one of those sort of fountain pens you have to use a bit, you have to break it in. But I sort of have red ink in it, which I do use quite a lot in work for telling people how terrible they are at their jobs. But yeah, I really like it. It's just a sort of everyday use fountain pen that it works quite well for me.
Nice. So, as we're running out of time here, I wanted to talk with Randy a little bit. So with Randy, I know I'm sitting here, I'm looking. He's got a Moleskin too, so he's a Moleskin guy.
Oh yeah.
Before the podcast, we were talking about our Levenger shirt pocket briefcases. That's I think, you know. I think it might have been, you know, one of those one of the things when we first met where, you know, he took that out to write down a note, and I was like, ooh, a Levenger shirt pocket briefcase. And he was like, you know what this is? And I'm like, yeah, I know. And it was kind of this kind of secret handshake moment.
And you instantly fell in love.
Oh, we did, you know. I knew right then that he was the guy for me. I mean, it's another one of those things that I know we both can attest to. Now, how long have you had yours?
I have, as a total, I had one previous to this, which disappeared.
Yeah.
So, but then I immediately went out and reordered another one. This one I have had for, at least 16, 17 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and I mean, it looks brand new. I mean, it looks very close to brand new. Unlike mine. Mine's not as...
Yours looks well worn. Yours looks good, but
mine,
well...
You know, it looks good. I'm not going to lie. You know, it's not bad. And I also had one previous to this. I had... This is a leather model, and I had the ballistic model that they made for a while. They no longer make. But the leather ones, they've made forever. And Levenger is actually a company I'm a big fan of their Circa paper system, where is basically notebooks where the paper you can easily move around the pages.
They're all over his office.
like literally every direction you look from where I'm sitting right now, you can see some Circa stuff. The shirt pocket briefcase I carry around with me everywhere, and is how I take notes, I make lists. Even though I've been using OmniFocus lately, I still write out a...
It's a great way to capture.
Yeah, great way to capture, but I also use the index cards for writing out kind of the things I want to get done today. I don't really manage that in OmniFocus or on my iPhone or on the desktop. I still write those few items down on the pen and paper. So I absolutely depend on it.
And they are exceptionally well made. I mean, as long as, you know, we both had ours, I mean, even Patrick's, he carries his in his back pocket, so it's, you know, kind of conformed to Patrick's shape. But it's still...
It's shaped like my bum.
But it's still, there's still no wear or separation. And, you know, basically what it is, it's a little leather envelope.
Yeah.
So in the front, there's a space to put a 3x5 card in a way that it can tuck in at the top and bottom, makes it easy to write on. And then there's an envelope portion where I store in the first one more cards.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I also store a small supply of business cards and a little Fresnel magnifying glass
that
they shipped along with it. And then there's a slightly smaller rear pocket. Which what I do is I move, when I finish writing on one, I move it to that back pocket.
I do this exact same thing.
And I also, the 3x5 cards I buy have the small checked variety, which is also the way I like my Moleskins. I like to check, because then you can write in both directions.
Yeah, basically grid is what or square, I believe, in Moleskin parlance.
Yeah, now I opened up mine here and see my... my handwriting is so bad. Even though I love pens and paper, my handwriting is actually a form of encryption.
it's a feature.
That's
not
right.
A bug.
So that no one else can possibly read my notes. I'm lucky if I can read my notes. So, but it for me, the writing of a note is a way of writing it into my mind as well.
Yes.
So even if I never look at those notes again, I'm more likely to remember it if I wrote it down at the time.
Yeah, and that's exactly it for me. It's the old field notes. I'm not writing it down to remember it later. I'm writing it down to remember it now.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And that the act of writing for me tends to cement things more permanently in my mind.
Absolutely.
And it's also an action I don't forget I've done.
Mm-hmm.
So especially for, you know, capturing things, you know, writing down a phone number or a note or something I need to get done on a 3x5 card and sticking it in my pocket. Unlike with my iPhone where, you know, I might open it up and, you know, I have to make sure that I launch OmniFocus and, you know, really, you know, write it down in there if it has any hope of actually being captured or remembered in OmniFocus on the desktop. For whatever reason, I don't have that same problem when I write it down on a 3x5 card with a pen. I always remember that earlier in the day, I wrote some important stuff down on that 3x5 card, and I need to process it. Or even better yet, I take that 3x5 card and I stick it in my inbox.
That's exactly what I do. And Patrick and I actually have the same Levenger inbox.
The exact same Levenger inbox.
This is getting to be a little strange. So.
Yeah.
And I do the same thing. The card goes in the inbox, and then at some point in time, it will go into OmniFocus.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
More
yeah.
likely. So we both have rocks, although mine has Coco Pele on it.
Yeah. My rock is actually I got from the... from the North Shore of Minnesota, a nice, beautiful area on Lake Superior. So we're starting to look at the time here, you know, kind of running a little bit long.
I think at the point we start talking about rocks could be the point where we maybe need to wrap up. Yeah,
I think that's
gone from pens and paper to rocks. I think we're really digressing.
I think
iPads, pens, paper, rocks.
I think we have officially jumped the shark.
Do you think we go on to scissors next?
We could make a game out of this.
Lizard Spock.
Well, thanks a lot, Randy, for taking the time.
Oh, my
pleasure.
I really
appreciate it. I kind of roped him into this unexpectedly. You know, he got off the plane, and you know, he's like, oh, and by the way, we're also going to be recording an episode of Enough. I hope you're ready.
So. It's never a problem when you ask me to talk about something. So,
and so, yeah, well, once again, thanks to everyone for listening. Where can folks catch you, Randy?
You can find me at whowritesforyou.com. And you can follow me, Captain Randy, CPTNRANDY, on Twitter.
All right, terrific. And Mike, you want to do a little plugging?
Yeah, why not? You can follow me on Twitter at iMike, iMYKE, and I will tell you about all of my life there.
Terrific. And, of course, I'm Patrick Roan at Minimal Mac, minimalmac.com. And I hope that you're following that as well as listening to this. So. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. And we'll talk to you later, Mike.
Will do, mate. Bye.
Bye.